Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Matt, are you ready for this week's dad gad joke?
I am.
That's what I'm calling them now. Instead of dad joke, it's a dad gad joke. I'm trying to make them musically themed now. That's my new plan. Musically themed jokes for the dad gad joke thing.
Okay.
Why was the fingerstyle guitarist indecisive?
I don't know. Why?
He couldn't pick.
Oh, Joe, his stand-up career is already tanked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got loads of... I've been trying to come up with excellent... I was like, C, E-flat, and G walk into the bar. Sorry, the bartender says, we don't serve minors.
Oh, Joe, you should have saved that one. I know.
I'm sorry. I was trying to do one with Lydian, the Lydian scale, to try and make it sound like lie down, but it doesn't really work. It's not good enough. But that's okay. I'm getting there. I'm developing my musical themed dad gad jokes. They're going to be great. You're going to have to come up with one soon.
I know. I'll have to start thinking. I'm sure I had one the other day, or I stole one from somewhere, and then I forgot.
Well, there's always next week, Matt. There is indeed. Hello and welcome, dear listener. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Yes, welcome back. We've got a whole bunch of things for you this week. We're going to do like a couple of show and tell things, maybe, because I'm getting too many products. I've had to start a calendar of when I'm going to like demo things that I'm being sent because... I'm getting sent so much stuff. So
that's good.
That is good.
We're rocking and rolling. Everyone wants the Joe Branton... Everyone wants the Joe Branton mini song.
That's it.
And but hopefully I'll be doing some soon. After this week, once I've done this week, that's it. Yeah. I'm in.
Because this week you're off to Norway.
I am indeed off to Norway. I'm going to the Larvik Guitar Show. So there's going to be some really cool guitar players there.
Are you going to buy anything there?
I don't know.
I mean, I know you'll be there for work, but can you get away with buying stuff?
We're going there to support one of our dealers there, which is Foresound. I think they're Norway's biggest dealer. And most of their booth is Boss stuff. So I would say probably not.
You're not gonna no, fair enough. Norway's one of those places. I bet there's like loads of cool boutique stuff that just doesn't make it out of Norway.
Well, I think the main thing with this show, which is kind of different, I guess, is this is more of a guitar festival. So
what
I guess this, well, this is it's more
oh, like players and stuff.
Yeah, so this is more players than it is like a trade show. And we're there as part of that. So this is more like lots of clinics, lots of tutorials.
Oh, that sounds boring.
And all that sort of stuff. Well, you know, we're going mainly for the sort of artists that are going to be there rather than the gear, as it were.
Have you got anyone cool? Are you guys bringing anyone?
We're taking Mr. Alex Hutchins because he's the bloody best.
Well, he is the bloody best. What a lovely man. What a fantastic guitarist.
So he's going to be doing some stuff on some of the kind of Boss products that came out in the last sort of few months.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, yeah, I'm looking forward. I think, I guess I'm most looking forward to seeing Larry Basilo, because she's got the best looking signature Ibanez out there, in my opinion, that sort of purple and gold Ibanez.
Is it?
It's an Ibanez LBM1. Ibanez LBM1, is that what it is? I'm sort of making it up. No, LB1.
Oh, yes. It's like their sort of cinched waist Telecaster style thing.
Yeah.
It's like the AZ Tele.
Yeah.
But she has it without the plate, which makes it look way more modern and a great, great looking pickup selection. It's HSS, which, you know, I normally would spit at, but it's kind of cool. I don't know what's going on with the middle pickup. It's like a it looks like an uncovered Tele pickup in the middle.
Yeah, it's a completely custom wound set for that specific guitar, but yeah, kind of a different sort of different look and vibe in the middle pickup. It's like an uncovered single coil in the middle pickup.
It looks quite cool. Fantastic. I mean, it's gold hardware, which is normally terrible, but with this sort of shade mauvey purple, lavendery purple.
They call it violet.
Oh, a violet. That's what they're going for. It does look very good. £2,500 is an awful lot for an Ibanez, I think.
Well, I guess it's, yeah, made in Japan, isn't it? You know, and I guess that's where.
Oh, no, they're very good. They're very good. If I was going to get.
Japan one's coming out now.
If I was going to get that cut there, like T style, I think I'd get the Tom Quail.
Yeah, I think the Tom Quail and this one are based on similar designs, right? But this one's obviously got a few more things on it. And it's also got that Dynamix system.
What is a Dynamix system?
I think that it's basically allows sort of series and parallel switching on the humbuckers specifically.
Oh, okay. Right.
I was just trying to have a look at the manual, but I couldn't find it. Dynamix offers 9 sound variations that can switch between humbucker and single coil modes with the flick of a switch.
Who thought of that name? That is a terrible name for a system. It sounds like a deal you get on popcorn at the cinema.
Dynamix. Yeah, one even simulates a humbucking sound from the combination of 2 single coil pickups. So I think it's just, it's kind of like the old S1 switch on a Strat that no one could ever remember what it did. So yeah, there's those she's there, Robin Ford, the originator of shred guitar, Frank Gambardi, who's a good friend of Alex, is there. So quite a few people that, you know, use our stuff or could be using our stuff are there, and no, it's going to be good to see it all in action, I think.
Yeah,
it was a really cool, really popular show, despite it being, you know,
how big is it?
I would say there was probably 1,000 people there last time.
Okay, so quite...
Somewhere between... Maybe a bit less than that. Last time I went, it was Mike Dawes was there and did some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Gilbert was there. You know, and considering it's like... It's not a town... It's probably a town a bit like the size of Brighton.
Right.
But so somehow managed to attract like some of the biggest guitar players on the planet for 3 days. It's quite amazing, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really intense. It's like, you know, back to back sort of guitar playing and tutorials and clinics and all that sort of stuff. So it should be fun.
That does sound very cool.
And I'm sure a chance to see a lot of cool guitars.
Yes. Yeah. We'll report back, you know, next week when you're back, and
we'll
discuss all the cool guitars that you've seen. Every time I see Alex Hutchins, he's always like, "Oh, we've got to jam together. We've got to sort something out to jam together." He asked me that every time, and I'm like, I don't think you know how much worse a musician I am than you.
Well, I think, do you know what, that is the great thing. I remember talking to Alex once, and I mean I don't want to talk for Alex here, but I think one of the things he always found or finds difficult sometimes is when you get someone like Alex who, you know, I think he had one of the first, I guess, viral guitar playing videos on YouTube when it was him and Guthrie on like the Rotor Sound stand.
Yeah.
You know, and you get, there's a lot of other players who are of that caliber. They kind of try to outplay Alex.
Oh,
and then it becomes less of a musical conversation and more of like, I want to play better than you.
Yeah.
So you actually tend to find there's no vibe or or character. And then when I've sort of played with Alex and I'm a much worse guitar player than Alex, he's sort of like, you do stuff that I wouldn't think of, or I wouldn't play like that, or I wouldn't do that, or, you know, because he's comes from a very different world. So I think he really enjoys playing with lots of different musicians that do lots of things very, very differently.
Yeah.
Cool. Rather than someone who's like, how much faster can I play than.
Yeah. We were going to do some prog jazz together, so it wouldn't be.
Oh, he loves odd time signatures. He actually just put a video out on his channel of him playing guitar and bass with an RC600 looper. And I think the title of the video is, can you tap your foot along to this? And it's like the most, it's so weird.
Oh, I love it.
It's so weird. I'm just like, is this right? I don't know. So
that's a challenge I would accept, a time signature challenge.
A time signature challenge. so we're taking Alex, and it's always good to hang out with Alex. And he's a great rep. I mean, he's been demoing the brand for like 20 years. And, you know, so he really knows that stuff inside and out. So yeah, it's going to be a good few days.
It does. It sounds like it shall be excellent. Now, earlier this week, we got through some Bleak District electric pedals, Matt. This was something that we spoke about that you brought to my attention, I think, I don't know, months ago, maybe last year on the podcast. I can't remember.
This was from the London International Guitar Show.
Is that what? That long ago? Wow.
When? No, that was only like October, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Oh, that was the one you went to that I didn't. Yes.
Yes, it was the one at Kempton Racecourse.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So these pedals look fantastic. Dear listener, you should check them out. bleakdistrict.co.uk, a little UK-based pedal manufacturer. Only 4 or 5 pedals, I think, in the entire range, but they're all really interesting and really different. I think we spoke about a couple of them at the time, which are actually the two that we've been sent. We've been sent the Rec Head and the Anti-Static. The Anti-Static, dear listener, I've got a little video up on Instagram. On the reels, we're actually going to play the audio from that anyway on this episode. You can hear what that does. It's kind of, I mean, that's fantastic. So that pedal is like a Velcro-y fuzz combined with a micro looper on one pedal, which when you say it like that, you're like, what, how does that work together? What use is that? But it's very cool.
Yeah, it's... I think what I've really loved about that video when you sent it, Joe, and obviously I know you'll play the audio, was that it was a great example of showing, and I think I said the same thing when we did another demo maybe last week, it's a great example of showing the pedal in the mix and in a situation that you might use it, because I suddenly went, oh man, like I want that pedal, I want to buy that pedal. It's like such a great example of like how you could potentially use it. And I think the way that, especially you demo on Instagram, a way that you could use it if you were reamping or if someone was playing and you were using it in the studio and you've got a bit more hands-on control. And then I was like, yeah, it's a great example of a cool idea done really well and really simply without loads of faff and MIDI and all of that as well.
Yeah.
He calls it a CMOS fuzz, CMOS.
I've never heard anything called that before. It was just a really silicony sounding fuzz.
Yeah,
just
I think
sort of gated, modern, buzzy 60s fuzz.
I guess as the guitar nerds, we should probably know more about this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but I think it's effectively it sounds like a digital fuzz, but I'm not 100% because if you type it in here, a CMOS chip works with digital logic compared to the transistor based fuzz circuits, both germanium and silicon. In a CMOS fuzz, there is no in between, no dynamic range, no vintage tone or anything like that.
Okay. Well, the fuzz is dead simple on this pedal. You literally have kind of a level control for it, which sort of acts a bit like a gain as well. But it's all on one single knob, and then you've got the on-off for that. And then you've got one massive control in the middle of the pedal and an unlatched foot switch for the looper. The massive knob in the middle of the pedal is defining how long that loop is, and you can change the range of that. You can have it be long or super short. So super short will get you like glitches. You can capture little glitch notes, which is kind of, I feel like that's the bread and butter of this pedal. That's what it's for, playing a fuzzy, you know, riff and then grabbing a little glitchy note. You can also latch the looper, like reverse it, so then when you hold down the foot switch, it would cancel it, which obviously is, you know, you'd only use that very occasionally in that sense. But that would also be cool, because you'd then kind of use the on off switch for, you know, for bringing in the weird glitch sounds and stuff like that. But it's
well, when you play the audio, I think what I've really liked about it, Joe, was there's a couple of sounds that always stick out to me, like that's the sound that I just want to have on my foot and just know exactly the right time to bring it in, and that is the guitar solo, if you can call it that, from Go to Sleep by Radiohead off How to the Faith, really, which I think is actually a guitar running through Max MSP, which is a program that you can run in Ableton. It's kind of like a modular synth, I guess, for guitars that you can program to do anything. I remember someone once programmed, there was a video around on YouTube where someone had programmed a Wii controller, Nintendo Wii controller, because it's Bluetooth, to then taped it on the back of their guitar headstock, and then as they move the Wii controller, depending on the position against the screen, change the like the delay time, for example.
Wow. Which I thought was
cool. So that solo, and also Block Party.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. That was just DD3s though, wasn't it?
It was DD3s, but obviously hitting it and then also then turning the delay time really quickly as well, so you sort of get that, which you were doing obviously in the video on the
do in this video would be tricky to do, actually, you know, because I needed both hands basically for most of this, which you wouldn't have. Actually, I tell you what, funny thing about recording this this piece of music, what I normally do, how I normally record the videos, is I'll write like a drum part, and then I'll come up with, you know, the riff that I want to record, and I will I'll play it into a Boss RC3 along with the drums on my DAW, and then I've got the riff there on the RC3 that I can then play back through the pedal and then sync it up with the drums again afterwards. And sort that. It's you know, pretty easy to do, but the problem was, because I needed to, because it was a looper that was going to take my riff out of the correct time, I had to be able to hear the drums whilst I was recording it. So I had to like start, I don't even know if I'm explaining this in a way that makes any sense, but I had to start the riff on the RC3 and then press record on my DAW perfectly in time in order to be able to manipulate everything properly, which was,
well, I guess that's that, and there's one thing I haven't really figured out with the Hologram Electronics Microcosm, but part of the reason I bought it was a friend of mine who's got one who uses it in the studio, because it's MIDI, you can obviously sync the clock up to MIDI, so for the kind of glitch effect, there's actually an algorithm in it called Glitch, you can actually sync it up to MIDI, which is quite cool, where this one is a little bit more hands-on.
Yeah, this one is just a cool sort of rough and ready thing, which would have been fine if I'd have recorded this without a drum beat, it would have been okay. But there was no way of me, unless I had the drum beat going, there was no way I was going to be able to bring the riff back in and out in the right time. Anyway, let's stop talking about it and listen to it. This is the Bleak District Electric Anti-Static. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
There you go. That was the Bleak District anti-static. Obviously not... You know, not a super functional, but it's very modern.
I can't wait to put some John Mayer licks on that. do you know what? Glitch element aside, I actually think the fuzz sounds really solid. It's got it's got that kind of Fuzz Factory kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, yeah, it sounds really well designed, really well built, really, really into it.
I'm a big fan. Lots of fun. I wish maybe I could use the micro looper independent of the fuzz. That would be nice. And certainly when I put the video up, a lot of the comments were, I wish, you know, that you could control this on an expression out rather than just the big knob, because of course that it's difficult to control that with your foot. I mean, I did come back to that and say, I think if I was going to put this on a pedal board, I'd put a one of those wingman
knobs. the wing nut
wing
is
it
wing thing
nut?
Isn't it?
No,
it's called Wingman, but it's a wing nut is the
yeah,
name
it's
of the
but
nut
yeah
that
just
goes
a,
on
just
it.
It's just a massive tall knob. damn it. Yeah, it's just a big sort of wing nut shaped thing, so you can turn things with your feet. Like Tim, the guitarist in Polymath, he has one on his Boss DM2W, which he uses all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it sort of leads into a topic that I put on our little scripty script there, Joe, yeah. Which is around moving a few things around on my pedal board, and I decided to take off the Moog low pass filter and keep that separate in a different project that I'm using, because ultimately I had that and an expression pedal on my board, and I realized every time I put an expression pedal or volume pedal on my pedal board, it takes up space, and I just never really use it that much.
Yeah.
So I've sort of rewired the board so you can have, if I want one, I can sort of just have it off the pedal board.
Right. That's cool.
It's never really an essential thing for me.
No.
And I put back on the Snarling Dogs multiple wah,
yes!
Because it is the best wah.
Yes, that is a great idea.
I think we talked about it maybe the other week, but because it's also got a ring modulator on it, man, I just absolutely love ring modulators. I've put that on there because I like having the auto wire effect, but obviously, I think, as I said last week, got most of it from the H9, put the Snarling Dogs on there. And I've created this space on my pedal board now where I'm like, what do I put there? So I've been looking at a whole bunch of different things. And I was like, yeah, I basically want that kind of... Well, nothing really. So I guess in parallel to this, I've sort of been playing around with a couple of bits, and I got something new that I put on the board, which has actually meant it covers a lot more bases. Right. So I guess I'll start with there. So I bought a Mythos Argonaut, which is a mini pedal with no controls, just a foot switch and a light. And it is effectively an octave up.
Right, yes.
Like a vintage octaver type thing. So you run it before or after drives or fuzzes.
Who else did this? One of our friends?
Yeah, Bigfoot Engineering.
Bigfoot Engineering did it, yeah.
The Octopus. Right. The difference with the Octopus is it's all passive.
Right.
This one requires power.
I see.
But it's wicked. So I basically have that wired into the switcher, so I've always got an octave up. And if you use an octave up without any fuzz or drive, you also get a kind of fixed ring modulator, sort of weird, almost kind of like a really weak fuzz,
cool.
Which is cool. So I've got that, and then I was running that into, if I want, I can switch it in and out, into the Dinosaural Dan Coggins Cogmeister, which is a treble boost, tone bender, and a solo boost all in one box. And I was like, all the best ones. That covers the sort of glitchy octave up sort of FZ2 hyperfuzz type thing. So I took the hyperfuzz off the board and put the revival trem back on.
Right.
And was like, actually, the revival trem.
You had taken the revival trem off of your board?
Well, because I just didn't have the space, because it's
it's one of the best pedals I think we've ever, you know, spoken
absolutely.
About.
And I think it comes back to, with my big pedal board, the more I change it, the more I keep going back to the things that I'm like, I can't live without it. And I think that's one pedal I can't live without, you know, like my DD3, I can't live without. So I've sort of got this core set of pedals that I'm like, actually, on a desert island, I'd have all of those pedals. So I put the revival trem back on, and I've sort of gone, well, I've got the octave up. Uh-huh. I've got the revival trem, which does the kind of slightly gritty stuff. And then the Cogmeister does everything else. And you can then have any of it with octave up. So
yeah.
I've sort of now got no, I'm almost like, do I have a clean boost, which I don't really use because I don't really need it? Do I have a sort of glitchy fuzz pedal? And then in the space that I've got where I had the expression pedal, I'm like, maybe I should go for something a little bit more glitchy and weird. And I put the mood on there, and I was like, well, the mood's really similar to the microcosm.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I put the habit on there and have something a bit like a kind of frip like looper? And the thing I'm most tempted by, to be honest, at the moment, is a Boss PS3. Because, you know, I just went, actually, what I really want to sound like is Nick Reinhardt. And I was just like, he's just got that, you know, it's that Rainbow Machine sort of like clean, weird, glitchy chorus thing. But I like the idea because it's got a pitch shifter on there.
Why would go for the PS2 rather than the PS3? The PS3 rather than the PS2.
Because the PS3 has a couple of extra modes compared to the PS2.
Right.
And the PS3 has an expression pedal input.
Ooh.
And what I've got kicking around is it's basically the size of a small, it's basically just the size of a foot switch. I've got a light sensitive expression controller. And I was like, I've got a tiny space that I could put above the pedal. And then I could actually have some sort of, all I need to do is put my foot above it. I've got some...
Oh, so it's like the D-beam that Roland have on their synthesizers.
Basically, it's like the D-beam.
Right.
And I was like, oh, actually, that might be quite cool. But going back to the PS3, like, all of the weird pedals that are around now, things like the Rainbow Machine, loads of those pedals have a similar sound to the Boss PS3.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Those, you know, it's just that it wasn't... With Boss as a company, because obviously they're the biggest, they have such a huge range of effects pedals. I do feel like occasionally they've had things that have just come out at the wrong time for when that type of effect's been popular. Mm. You know, we will live again through a time when the digital metalizer is the most important pedal.
Well, I mean, I saw a digital metalizer the other day for sale for 350 quid. I mean, I think I sold one for like £45 about 2 years ago. But I guess what's interesting is that it's got, it's half a delay pedal and then half of a pitch shift pedal. Both at the time, digitally, you could, there wasn't loads of them around. It was kind of a new thing. So yeah, the PS3 came out in 1990, I think, or 1991.
Wow.
And you've got to think the PS2, considering that the digital delay compact had only been invented like a year earlier, came out in like 1988 or 89.
Wait. The digital compact had only come out.
Digital compact.
Right.
So to have a pitch shift,
89, my God.
I know. To have a pitch shifter and a delay in one box, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
But then to think that you had things like how they came up with it, but you've effectively, you've got this inverse mode that's a reverse delay through a cascading pitch shifter. So it feeds all the repeats back into itself. So every repeat then is pitched up and then that one's pitched up. And you get, that's a really common thing that you're getting on lots of pedals these days.
Yeah, that is the Rainbow Machine sound, isn't it? Now the sort of, the Electro Harmonix Canyon did it really well as well.
But. Yes. Yeah. So I thought it was quite interesting. And I was like, well, you know, they're not crazy money, so I might do that. But I don't know if you've got any suggestions, Joe. I don't know if I need more drive. I don't really know if I need more ambience because the Microcosm does all that. I've got a Swiss Army knife in the H9.
What are we doing modulation wise? Are you using the H9 for that?
Actually, modulation wise, I've got a VB2W.
Perfect.
Absolutely the best.
Absolutely the best.
If it's good enough for one, it's good enough for me.
Yeah. That's sort of answer. If you have vibrato, you don't necessarily need chorus. But well, I mean, what are you doing for chorus?
Well, interestingly, what I'm doing now for chorus is moving the chorus pedal around in loops. So where I've got a split, if I run it at the front of the chain, guitar runs into that first, and then that runs into everything else and goes out into the amp. Uh-huh. If I then move it to a different loop, it then only goes to one amp. So you've got one that's just vibrato and one that's just clean, and very that is effectively chorus.
Yes, I see. The vibrato pedal you're doing that with. You said chorus pedal, but you meant vibrato. Right.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, vibrato pedal, which basically creates a chorus.
Yeah.
And then I've got an MXR Face 95, which is the mini one. Yeah,
the mini one.
Very good. And then I'm using a Grouter Audio Muni Vibe. So I've got that covered. I've got a Deluxe Memory Man for the delays as well as a DD3. So I'm sort of like going, actually, what I need is something that's just, potentially just a bit weird and wonderful, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you say that, but like you said, you don't use a clean boost. I think like a boost pedal is a great way to get a little extra out of your amp or get like a different sort of tone out of your amplifier. But if you think you've got that covered with overdrives anyway and you don't need it, like Mythos pedals have just, they've just re-released the Luxury Drive, which is a great clean boost. But to be honest, you know, has anything ever beaten the MXR? What's that one called?
The microamp.
The microamp. Oh my God. Thank you. I completely forgot the name of it. Has anything ever beaten the MXR microamp? Probably not.
Well, that's true. I mean, one thing I don't really have.
You don't have an octave down.
Yeah, I do. I've got an OC2.
Oh, there is an OC2. Come on, Joe. Okay, of course. All right.
Desert Island pedal right there. You've got to have an OC2. You've got to have a VB2. Got to have a DD3. I mean, basically, Boss made. We sort of made all the good ones and then everyone else came in.
I was going to say what you're doing for vintage pedals. There's always place for a vintage pedal, but I guess the OC2, what is yours? 1980?
It's not as old as yours, Joe. That's
the one I bought off you, which is my birth year. 1984. That's the one pedal I can guarantee of everything I own that I would never ever sell. That OC2 will always be on my pedal board because it's bloody wicked.
I think probably like 19, I think it's 87, I guess. Mm. But yeah, I think for me, one thing I don't have is a kind of maybe always on, make gooder kind of valve preamp type thing.
Well, that's a good idea. A nice little preamp to give you something else. Does it have to be a valve preamp? Could you not do that with...
Oh, no. No.
A little booster, like just a little boost to warm things up, a little mid boost or something like that.
Yeah, I did think about it, and I think you've still got them, Joe, but the exotic super sweet and...
Oh, yeah, the super sweet, yeah. Their buffer and their booster, yeah. I can't remember. Super sweet and something else. Yeah, they're very good. They're very good. Definitely a good option for just something to excite your tone, your sort of mids and your trebles a little bit.
I sort of got...
Electro-harmonics, Matt. I don't feel that you're representing, you know, the other big brand.
I know. Maybe Electro-harmonics is the way to go. They've got like 700 pedals to choose from, so maybe there's something in that. But you know, it's so difficult, and it's totally a guitarist's problem. Is when I just don't like having seven shades of gain,
right?
And then going, I actually only really use two gain sounds. And if I'm now sort of at home or doing any recording, or I just want to mess around with a different fuzz pedal, right, I just have a pedal board with a power supply on, and I just grab some pedals and plug them in.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you don't necessarily need that. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is build a big pedal board that covers everything I need for recording. So it's got a good drive sound, it's got a good fuzz sound, it's got a boost on it, it's got the modulation sounds you need. And that's what I can do, like 99% of just the sort of...
What's dealing with reverb? Is the H9 dealing with that as well?
No, because I've got the CXM78 for that. It's such a ridiculous pedal board. It's sort of like one of those ones you look at and just go, God, if only I could have said to myself 10 years ago, don't worry, you'll have all this stuff. I don't know. I'm sort of really a bit of a loss, because there's so many great pedals out there. I've got a bunch of... It's also one of those things, we talked about it on the podcast before, where actually you've got a lot of stuff in your pedal cabinet, but you always feel like you need something new.
That is the story of my life. Okay, what about this, Matt? I was trying to think, because I'm like, everything I'm going to suggest, you know, it's going to be like a cool vintage modulation pedal. Well, you've got modulation covered. Fuzz, that's the obvious one, but you've got that massive Cogmeister thing. That's so covered. Drive, you've covered that really well. You know, delays, really good digital delay there. Reverb's done. Everything's kind of done. So what about something that does a different job from all of that? What about something like the Game Changer Plus?
Yeah, I have got one kicking around to the side, and I thought about putting that on there and doing that as kind of having a bit more of a hold pedal.
It's great for just thickening out, like have it low in the mix and just tap it occasionally, just to have to sustain high but the mix low, and then just every now and again just give it a little tap and
Maybe that's a really good shout, actually. That's a really good shout. I've found that when I've had the Plus pedal before, one of the best things that I've done is run a reverb pedal in the effects loop.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done the same, because it obviously, it just adds an effect just to that held audio. And when you add in like a big reverb as well, you just get this kind of like massive... this massive pad sound. I mean, one thing I haven't really got, and I think the H9 does it, but it's a little weak, like synth sounds, and I've gone back to my sort of Boss demo board a bit, and I've got an SY200 on there, and obviously just like some of the synth sounds and that are so good, but again, really requires an expression pedal to make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about the Plus pedal is you've got that little switch, and you can turn it into an always off volume pedal.
Yes, that's true.
Where it doesn't pass any signal through, and then you can, you know, you can hit the pedal and it can swell in the sound. And the great thing, unlike a volume pedal that's going to be entirely reliant on you know, how you're pressing that pedal, you can set the rise, essentially, of the effect.
Yes, you can.
So you can have like a perfect swell every time. There's a lot of uses to that Plus pedal. I'm a big advocate. I was thinking about getting the Plasma pedal recently. Fuzz pedal with a blend, you know.
I thought you already had one, actually.
Oh, Plasma. No, one of those I do not have. I need to get it.
I know I've seen a few reviews coming out of the Bixby. that's out there now.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, maybe you're right, because I've also, I've got like a mini pedal space where I've got something in it that I don't mind, and it's actually really good, but the Revival drive is covering a bit of that, or the Revival trem's covering a bit of that. So maybe I need something like the Exotic AP boost or Super Sweet as a kind of always on little bit of a clean boost. And then I've got the plus pedal there for other things. So when you send me that care package finally, Joe.
I know. Every week I say I'm going to send you stuff, and then it goes to the back of my list. I also have Naomi and JD, who I'm supposed to be sending stuff to as well. So, oh, I tell you what, a little podcast update, dear listener. Naomi is now officially the bass player in Empire State Bastards, which is Simon Neill from Biffy Clyro's new band with Venart.
Yeah, is that official and announced now? Is
yeah, yeah, that's okay, it was in NME. Oh yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's literally in NME, so I can't. So it's the information's out there.
Yeah,
so.
No, I actually did speak to her about this about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah,
and mentioned it was on the cards, but yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I think they're debuting at Hellfest, so
yeah, something like that.
I don't know whereabouts, but I mean, the headliners are Kiss, Motley Crue, Iron Maiden, and Slipknot. So
yeah, it's really good. I'm really, really happy for her. She's so super busy at the moment getting stuff ready for it. It sounds like they're actually practicing an awful lot. I've got to send her my Fuzzrocious Little Fella, because she's after a few more drives. She's got fuzz covered, but she's looking for good bass overdrives.
Right.
So I'm gonna send her
that time. I sent her a Katana bass amp.
Oh, my friend, if you think I didn't already tap her up and be like, so Ashdown amps. But I tell you who's got there first? Orange. Orange have got in there first.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
I know. They're so... God, James Deacon from Orange, he's so quick off the mark. He gets all the best artists. Oh, well. But yes, that's
amazing for her as well. That's awesome. And what a band to be in with those kind of musicians. That's incredible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, dear listener, I should mention that when we finish this episode, Matt and I will be heading over to the Patreon episode where... That's right, it's the question duck. We answer a question that's been posed that we've lifted from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. Join it, dear listener, if you're not already on there. It's a wonderful place for discussion, asking questions, sharing pictures of your favorite bits of gear, stuff like that. So this week, there's kind of a few things I wanted to talk about. More like I wanted to talk around a couple of topics, really. I'd seen a couple of posts from John Mahon and also Peter Schilling had both commented similar things. John had said, I'm weighing up a transition to an ampless setup. I'd appreciate any tips and tricks from fellow nerds who have done the same. Peter Schilling had said, I play live mostly on acoustic guitar. Sometimes I play jazz on a humbucking guitar, but I still play through a Walrus Audio ACS-1 amp sim. I'm thinking of getting rid of the Blues Junior, as I simply don't play it. Would a tube-powered preamp be worth getting for like a warm jazz tone? Anyway, I know that's a slightly different question, but I kind of wanted to talk on the Patreon, Matt, about our favorite ampless solutions and the ones that we think would be worthwhile alternatives to the amplifier. And also, you know, we might talk a bit around Peter Pesce posted about our discussion last week, Matt, where we were talking about, well, mostly you were talking because I couldn't talk, about about the Roadworn series of Fenders and just how ridiculously good they are, and how it's not so much a sleeper guitar, but I mean, they don't lose any value. So you can buy and sell them, you know, for the same amount if you like, but they are incredibly good. And so, you know, Peter was suggesting, is there any point in a custom shop? Obviously there is, if you want some specifications that are very particular to you, then yes. But if what you're after is sort of, you know, a worn you know, player's guitar, then the Roadborne series is kind of, you know, very, very good. So we might talk a bit around that on the Patreon. But
Sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. So do tune in, dear listener, to when we discuss that. Matt, this week, actually, scrap that. Why don't we do some news? Should we do some news? I feel like it's been a while since
it has been a while since we've done some news.
Yeah. Okay, dear listener, right, it's time for some news, time for some fun new things that have come out this week, and what could be more exciting than Mesa Boogie introducing the Mark 7?
The Mark 7.
I must have missed the Mark 6.
No, well, everyone missed the Mark 6 because the Mark 6 was a secret in-between prototype. I remember when the Mark 5 launched when we were at GAC, and obviously...
We'd just started podcasting, I think, around that time.
I think we had, yeah. So, you know, this is the, as they have put on their own website, a magnum opus of tone.
That is a bold statement.
Well, I think, you know, the interesting thing is, I remember... I mean, I've had a few Mesa Boogie amps in my time, but the Mark IV was everything,
yeah,
in one box, effectively.
Well, this absolutely is that, isn't it? This Mark VII. I mean, the amount of features that they have still made relatively. I mean, it's a lot of knobs. It might be too many for me. But then you read everything that they've done, like 3 channels, 9 modal preamps. They've included. There's like 3 wattage ranges. They've got the cab clone built into built in there, so you've got all your cab sims at 8 different rectifier cab sims, which is very, very good. These features are, you know, they are fantastic preamps, including the Mark 2B, the Mark 2C, and the Mark 4. As well as a bunch of their other ones, the Clean, Fat, and Crunch. I mean, this is a fantastic product.
It is, and I think you're right. There's a lot of controls on there, but this has always been designed as the same with the Mark V. It's really designed to be the amp that is their flagship that does everything that you need a Boogie to do, from super sparkling clean all the way up to like brutal gain, and then use it live in a situation where you've either got MIDI switching or you're using the foot controller, and that perhaps your pedal board is perhaps just doing some maybe modulations or delays or reverbs.
Yeah.
So you've got a set of redesigned channels, I guess you would say, and as you mentioned, you've still got the Mark IV sound. A lot of people love the Mark IV sound, the tightness of the gain channels that you've got on channel 3. But of course, the classic and iconic Mark IIb and Mark IIc Plus, which are the sort of, I guess most people see those as like the ultimate Boogie sound. You know, that was sort of like a pinnacle for them in terms of the design, and especially around, I think, you know, Metallica and Kirk Hammett was using those, like a lot of the metal bands were using them. And then you've got the first channel and the second channel are much more around a really good clean and drive preamp that you can have different settings on. So channel 1 is Clean, Fat, or Crunch. Channel 2 is Fat, Crunch, or Mark 7. And what's really clever about the design is the channel levels of gain kind of cascade in terms of the amount between all 3 channels.
Right.
So you can get this really nice balance across all 3. So, you know, sort of channel 2 picks up where channel 1 leaves off, and channel 3 sort of picks up where.
Just the attention to detail on these, like sonically, is just, you know. It's not just them, you know, coming up with a sound and that being the sound that they make. You know, so many amp companies do that. It's like, we use these transistors and these valves, and this is the sound that it produces. And then they run off of that legacy. Like, I just feel like Mesa Boogie are always thinking about making sure that sonically they have everything absolutely covered to an extremely high level.
Yeah, and I think what's really crazy about this is the size of these amps compared to like a Marshall, and you think how right. much they can really put yeah. in one amp. But I mean, just the back panel. So the back panel, you can have a different cab for each channel, which is cool. You've then got a line out, which is totally dry. You've then got an output with for headphones. You've got a DI out, a USB out, and then you've got four speaker out. So you can either have one 8-ohm, one 4-ohm, or two of each one of those. So it's pretty amazing. And the fact that you can have a different cab for each channel, I really like that.
Yeah.
Because you might find for your clean channel, particular IR that you like, maybe different to a different one. And I'm assuming all of that is then MIDI switchable as well. So live, it becomes a real sort of powerhouse. But even in the studio, the fact that if you had this hooked up in your studio all the time and you were sending yeah. MIDI to and from...
You could basically just use this for everything. You just need one amp.
You could basically just use this for absolutely everything. Yeah. Not sure on a price, but I'd imagine...
Oh, I thought it was like... I only ever look at the combos, but I think it was like $3,500.
Yeah, and I think the Mark IV was, what, $2,799 for like right. the longest time ever?
Yeah, I'm talking in dollars. Yeah,
so I think this is... I think it's cool. I mean, it's own... You know, I don't think they're going to be selling... hundreds of thousands of these.
No, but I tell you what, all the famous people will buy them.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, you know, you only have to look at some of the players like John Petrucci and stuff like that. And sure, you're getting a lot of people going out and using Kempers now, and I think the idea of something like this is like, you know what, don't worry about a Kemper. Yeah. Here's effectively a whole bunch of stuff that you can control via MIDI in the analog world. That's an amplifier.
Yeah.
And I like that because where most amps are two channels, this is like, no, it's three channels and nine options and cab switching. And it can, as you say, it can do everything. And yeah. I think that's just a really nice, that just seems to be something that you don't see as much anymore. And sure, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. It's definitely a weird one of all the products. I think it's the one that's the least for me, but I can still absolutely utterly appreciate how wonderful this product is. Now, what would you get if you could buy a Mesa Boogie from the current lineup, from the current range of stuff?
Let's do that.
MesaBoogie.com. What would you go for?
Gibson.com. Oh, God, you type Mesa Boogie into Google and Neural DSP comes up as a sponsored thing first. I mean, that's impressive, isn't it? Well, some serious spending right there.
Yeah, I haven't got it yet, the Neural DSP Mesa Boogie one. I just I can't imagine anything replacing the Tone King for me from that.
Right.
But, you know, their Tone King plugin, which I love. I have to say the Tone X pedal and the software that comes with it from IK Multimedia is the first thing that's really given it a run for its money, and it just sound absolutely fantastic. All that stuff is absolutely amazing. I'll buy you some time, Matt, whilst you're thinking about what Mesa Boogie you would get.
Okay, you go.
It's the Fillmore 25, the combo, the 112 combo. Okay. I know you're always going to go for heads. I'm always going to choose combos. But, you know, it's well-priced. Like, it's sub $2,000 for a Mesa Boogie. I'm not suggesting for a second that's affordable, dear listener. It's very expensive. But for the sort of product that Mesa Boogie creates, this is towards the budget end of their range. But the Fillmore is fantastic. You've got all those gorgeous, glassy, like, 6V6 Fendery cleans, but done to a quality and a level that's just outside of Fender's capabilities at the moment. And it's a gorgeous, super loud 25 watts is all you need. And it's got like a tube driven spring reverb in the combo as well. Like, come on. You know, it's such a proper, if you want just a classic guitar tone, I don't think there's a better product you could possibly buy. Well, obviously, you know, a Vox AC30, but other than that, I don't think there's anything that you could possibly buy better than this. It's just a dream. One day I might get a Fillmore, you know, one day it's the sort of thing I don't spend out on guitar amps because it's my second instrument. So, you know, I have my Blues Junior and I have my Katana and I have a few other amps as well. But you know, they're, those are the two that I use for most things, and I'm kind of happy. But one day I will spend out and get something. What about you, mate?
Yeah, we definitely don't talk about Boogie enough, really, do we? Because
no, let's make that a resolution for 2023. Let's talk about Boogie a whole bunch. I'm sure the Americans will get annoyed with how we pronounce it as well, as Boogie. We do pronounce it wrong, right?
Boogie.
They say Mesa as well, don't they?
Mesa
if it's
Boogie.
Got an A in it rather than an E. Mesa, they say Boogie. Mesa and Boogie. So they say an A instead of an E and pronounce it as if there's one O and not two O's, and we're wrong. But that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, anyway, carry on.
No, that's fine. I was actually just having a look through the range and seeing what they still make and what they don't make. And I miss my Lone Star, and I've said it lots of times before. I'm kind of torn because I actually really liked the Rectiverb 25. They did that in a little head, which I thought was really cool. The Mini Rectifier. They do that in a kind of... I've just seen they do that in the Lunchbox format, and then they also do it in a kind of normal head format. You've got the Badlander as well.
Badlander's very cool, Matt.
Obviously, you've got your classic rectifier. But for me, it's got to be the California Tweed.
I was going to say, why aren't you talking about the California Tweed?
The California Tweed 6v6 220 head. I mean, that, to me, that is everything I want in an amp.
Right.
Basically, single channel, gain, treble, mid, bass, presence, master volume, and then you can go 1, 10, or 20 watts.
What more could you possibly want from an amplifier?
Well, nothing. I 1 watt is 1 6v6, so great for recording. 10 watts is 2 6v6 in triode, and the 20 watt mode is 2 6v6 in pentode mode.
I don't know what that means, but good.
That's just how much of the valve is effectively working. The normal channel does clean to overdrive, and the low is mainly clean. It's an all tube spring reverb as well.
Wow.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
And just
they love an
all
tube spring reverb, don't they?
They do. But this is just a great pedal platform.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's got an effects loop on it if you want. You've got a overall reverb control on the back, so
right.
it's just a how much reverb kind of thing you want. They do it in a 40 watt version, and they also do it in a 1x12 and a 1x10 combo version.
Right.
But I think that the 20, that'll be more than enough volume.
The 220 more head. Than, of course it will. Of yeah, course it will.
More than enough.
Yeah.
And I just like the fact that they've kind of taken that Tweed design and given it sort of a little bit of a modern sort of build.
It's certainly a lovely looking amp. I've always felt like Vox kind of have the monopoly on making amps look good. Like when they do their custom shop stuff, and they do like fawn finishes with the sort of almost basket weavy meshes. They look so fantastic. I'm always surprised that no one else kind of goes down this route of doing light colored amps. But the California Tweed, absolutely beautiful.
And you just don't hear much from Vox, really, do you?
What do you mean you don't hear much from Vox? They don't need to do much. They invented the AC30 and the AC15.
Hey, you can't always sell the same amp forever.
Well, I mean, we really hope that they do, because every time they introduce something new, it's rubbish. You know, the AC15 and the AC30 are the products they do well. So long may those continue.
But
the reason the AC, you know, the AC15 and the AC30, the reason that you still see, you know, but models of those from the 60s is because they're repairable down to the, you know, they're perfectly built in that they're repairable down to the, you know, the very smallest element. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but you know, that's why they're still around, because they're so good. It's not just about how they sound. It's about the thought that's gone into putting them together. They're brilliant.
But for me, California Tweed, that would be the one.
That's a good choice. Now, Matt, I have done it again. I've left it till super late in the podcast for us to do the topic of the week and the spinning of the wheel. So let's start by spinning the wheel, I guess. This week we've got a question from Yogi the guitarist. Now, we're going to help him out on making a decision on something to sell. But before we do that, I'm going to spin the wheel, and we're going to pick who's going to get to choose the topic for next week's podcast. I promise next week we'll do it earlier.
Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel.
Well, how about that? Getting mentioned twice in an episode. It is Peter Pesce who has won this week's Spin the Wheel. So Peter, I'll be in touch and you get to choose the topic. I actually think I read on on our Facebook group that he said he'd pass if it ever came to him. So maybe there won't be one. So maybe there won't be one next week, dear listener. But hopefully he'll think of something anyway. And I've said, dear listener, if you're ever chosen, it can be a general topic for us to discuss, or it can be something very specific. I'll allocate an amount of time based on that, I guess. Also, of course, you get a goodie bag sent out to you. Do you know what? It's episode 10 and I haven't sent out a single goodie bag yet. I was waiting for some things to turn up, which had turned up last week. So next week, everyone, the last 10 of you who have won, you will be getting your goodie bags in the post, finally.
You could be strong enough to admit that, Joe.
I'm terrible at sending stuff to people. It's like my Achilles heel. I'm just awful at it. Anyway, this is Yogi's question. Yogi says, and I'll do it in Yogi's voice. He says, I'm looking to get some advice from the whole group and yourselves. No, I can't do that for the whole thing. on how to move forward. As well as being a guitar nerd, I'm also a complete Apple nerd. I'm looking to get a Gibson Custom Shop ES-345 with a Veritone in Sunburst finish, aka the GarageBand guitar. I don't mind putting a grand towards it, but it has to go on a trade-in. Which of the following would you trade in to get it? A Fender American George Harrison Rosewood Telecaster, a Fender Limited Edition P90 Thinline Telecaster with a flame roasted maple neck, a 2000 Fender Custom Shop Telecaster, a 63 in Candy Apple, a PRS SC-594 McCarty, a Gibson ES Les Paul in a historic burst with a Bigsby. If it was your decision and you had to trade, which would you go for? There's quite a bit of variance in price in those models. Do you need me to go through them again, Matt, or have you got them? So I'll go through them quickly without sort of all the things on them. So yeah. We're talking about a George Harrison, one of the American George Harrison tellies, the Rosewood telly.
Yeah.
There's like a thin line telly with P90s.
Yep.
A Custom Shop 63 Telecaster in Candy Apple, a PRS SC-594, and a Gibson ES Les Paul in historic burst with a Bigsby.
Well, if I'm being totally brutal and honest,
yeah,
those ES Les Pauls are...
They're rubbish, yeah.
Bloody ugly.
The worst
I was
going
to swear then, but I totally forgot. But yeah,
They weren't good.
I do not like those guitars.
That's all. I kind of feel like that's the... I don't like the George Harrison, though. I don't think the Rosewood Telecaster is good.
Oh, no. What? No.
I'm sorry.
You're out of order, Joe.
No, I tell you what it is. It's too specific. It's like owning a Prince guitar, you know, the cymbal one. It's like owning that.
You can't compare those two. That's madness. What, the Schecter Prince versus the Rosewood Telly?
I just mean
it. The closest thing is they're both signature guitars.
Yeah, but they're both really specific. I mean, you can't play it without people thinking about George Harrison, just like you can't play the Prince cymbal without people thinking about Prince.
I disagree. I mean, we've played a lot of Rosewood guitars in my time, and I don't ever think about George Harrison. To be honest, I wouldn't say it was his most iconic guitar.
He played it on the roof.
Yeah, but that's right.
Literally,
yeah.
I mean, they literally most
split
iconic.
Up. Yeah, one day after that, they were like, "Oh, that's enough." But I think it's got a sound that nothing else on that list has. And I just think Well, I mean, you could argue maybe the custom shop telly.
I don't know, a 63-inch candy app, but that sounds pretty cool. The PRS I'd keep. I know, dear listener, I know. But it actually is a cool guitar. The SC-594.
Yeah.
Like, keep hold of that. That makes sense. The Fender Limited Edition P90 Thinline Telecaster, I'm kind of like, how much are you even going to get for that? Like, against the price of a Gibson Custom Shop ES-345. It's almost out of the running because it's not a premium price guitar.
I think the obvious choice is that ES Les Paul.
No, I know.
I mean, ultimately, if it was me... it's very different when it's your own guitar collection and what you like versus what you don't like. But
yeah,
those ES Les Pauls were just never...
They weren't great. Probably easier for Yogi to part with. He's a big telly man, you know. So
yeah.
Probably easier for him to part with a Gibson. I know he's buying a Gibson, but why not have a one-in-one-out policy on Gibsons?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But-
There you go. The best thing he owns is still, he's got this Bitzer. He's posted it a few times on the group, this Bitzer telly. And it has, the neck is unbelievably thick. Like, it's a baseball bat, but I'm not like saying that for effect. It's a baseball bat. Like, I think it was actually cut into a baseball bat. Like, it's the thickest neck I've ever played. I loved it. And I was like, why aren't all guitars like this? But it was... huge. It was bigger than like a bass neck in depth, like a 57p bass is not as large in my hand as that.
But it's how they should be.
Yeah,
it is
a very cool. That is his best guitar. But yes. Anyway, so there you go, Yogi. I hope that helped. Next week we'll see if we have a question from Peter or if he insists on passing. We'll find out. But dear listener, that is in fact the end of this week's episode. Matt and I are going to head over to the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you want to get in contact with us, dear listener, do. If you want to email us, you can. info@guitarnerds.net. DM us on Instagram. Actually, I turned off notifications on Instagram the other day, checked my messages, and I was like, oh, I've had like 50 DMs from people. So I need to turn that back. Well, the problem is, Matt, I work for so many different companies running their Instagram. If I turn notifications on Instagram, my phone constantly vibrates.
Yeah,
like, some companies are on American time as well, so it's just constant. But anyway, so DM us on Instagram. I will turn that back on. Ask in the open forum on Facebook, on the Guitar Nerds group. If you're a Patreon supporter, then contact us through Patreon. As I said, we're going to head over to Patreon right now. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. There's info on how to sign up and support this charming community. And you can do that for as little as $1 a month. There you go. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Isn't that lovely, dear listener? Well, thank you very much for listening this week, everyone. And Matt and I will be back next week for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye.
With another podcast episode under our belt, it's time to say thank you to all our wonderful, incredible, top-tier Patreon supporters, without whom none of this would be possible. Thank you to Scott Guitars, Suresh, Dosonic Pickups, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Joran Brown, John Conaway, The Studio Rats, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einsler, Marquez Al Kadawaki, Stuart Watson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Simon Milbourne, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordwick, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.